Welcome to the home for lost 20-year-olds. Join Brina and Josie as they struggle to navigate their 20s and try to laugh them off by sharing the adventure with you. This is 20-something and Thriving.
So today we have a special guest on the podcast, my husband, Brian.
Say hi.
Hi, I'm Brian, Josie's husband. We've been married for, what, 7 months now? Pulling up on 7 months now.
Yeah, we've talked about our wedding and marriage, though. We're over that. Oh.
Well, how are we all thriving this week?
Okay, I can start with my thriving story. So yesterday, I went over and babysat all day. Usually it's just in the night, but the toddler was sick. He had a fever and a rash, and so he fell asleep on me, and he ended up napping like 4 hours, and the movie ended, and I realized that the remote had fallen to the ground. So I waited like 20 minutes before finally grabbing it. It was torture.
And then sounded like you were in torture.
Yeah. Yep. He just like grumped and then rolled over and fell back asleep.
Yeah, the guy was so sick yesterday.
Yeah. How are you always sick? You're always sick.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about the baby.
Oh.
But yeah, I do get sick a lot. I have no idea why.
I think that brings us to your thriving story.
Oh, okay. So my thriving story for the week, I had a sinus infection. It ended up getting worse before it got better. I thought I was better the next day, and then it got really bad, and I had a fever, felt like I had to throw up, had to go to the bathroom several times a day. It wasn't fun, and then I kept having to use my inhaler, and you know what that means? I couldn't vape. I couldn't freaking vape. I didn't vape for like 3 days straight. It was torture. Let me tell you.
No vape life. No vape life, brah.
We're back on the vape life now, brah. Don't worry.
Oh, good, good. Well, my thriving story is we're going through a remodel at work, and half the walls are torn down. You can see into basically almost all the exam rooms except one, but there's no ceiling on the exam room that is sealed off, so you can hear everything that's going on in there. And there's this pipe, because there's this sink that used to be right by this exam room that we're still using. It burst and shot everywhere. It went up over into the exam room. The doctor comes running out. He's like, "What's going on?" We're like, "The pipe's bursting." And our manager's like running down the hall, going into the back to get the remodel guys to tell him that the pipe just bursted and it's spraying everywhere. So they had to come and seal it off. And that was just the whole thing. And that's basically how the whole week went, because it's crazy during remodels. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you had more than one pipe bursting this week?
Actually, yeah. One night when I was closing by myself, a pipe burst in our back room and it got all over my stuff, all over my jacket, my purse, the computers back there, the Macs and stuff, the equipment. I was like, oh my God, I'm by myself. Do I text the doctor and tell him that they just burst a pipe? So I ended up texting Emma and I told her, and I think she told the doctor. We told them the next day or something, but... yeah. Good thing we're getting all new carpet, too, because the carpet was soaked. Yeah. Ugh.
Oh my gosh.
So, sounds like they don't know what they're doing.
He said that the last remodel they did went so much more smoother because they had someone else, but this guy that we have now, he's just odd. Like, he's so odd. Like, the other night, I was closing by myself again, and he comes up. He's like, "Hi." I'm like, "Hey." He's like, "How's it going?" I'm like, good. And he's like, "Yeah, good. How's work going?" "Good." And he's like, "Yeah." And then he walks around and like just stands there, like walks around the desk and just stands there staring at me. And I was like, "All right, well, have a good night." Like, what do you say? Hell? So creepy and weird.
Yeah.
So, I can't wait till the remodel's done.
That's why you just gotta get Austin to get you a ring.
Well, he's an old guy, so either way, yeah. Either way, he was still a creepy old guy.
Then you could all you have to do then is put your left hand onto the top of the desk and just be really obvious with it at that point.
Yeah.
That doesn't work with creepy guys.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Why has it happened to you?
Well, not like that, but yeah, creepy guys aren't deterred by rings.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
How would you know this?
Creepy guys haven't been deterred.
Haven't been deterred? By yours? Specifically, or...
Movie Dom.
So who's Brandon?
So, today's episode is all about cars.
Yeah, Brian,
yeah. Brina, hang on. Before we start, actually. Okay. Brina, have you heard about Brandon?
I have not told Brina this story.
You haven't told Brina this story?
No.
Who's Brandon?
So I had a dream the other night that basically Josie and I had a threesome with some random woman named Karen, right? And Josie was jealous.
Of course her name was Karen.
Well, okay. So, right. I know, right? I know. And, like, she had no emotion, this Karen woman. She just, like, did it. It was the weirdest thing. And Josie was jealous during this ordeal. So, you were in my dream, too, actually, Brina.
Oh, boy.
You, Austin, Thomas, Josie, and I were in the living room at my parents' house for some reason. And that was their old furniture from, like, 10-plus years ago. And Josie starts explaining to me about Karen, and then she got super upset with me, even though she's the one that, like, brought up the whole idea of us doing this threesome.
Never gonna happen.
Nope. Yeah,
it's only a dream, right? And so we go, I go outside, Josie comes outside, and tells me that she cheated on me with a guy named Brandon, who we had met at a party, apparently. And anytime we talk about something related to other guys, and I joke around, I bring up Brandon now.
Yeah, this was like
last week. So,
what a dream.
Yeah.
Yep. So apparently, I cheated with a guy named Brandon.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great. You can make that into a freaking book, that dream.
Yeah, seriously.
I think the worst part was that she said Brandon was better at sex than I was.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes. So, moving on.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so why are you on the podcast today?
So, I'm on the podcast to go over some questions. What you should know about going to get an oil change, you know, what should you look out for with mechanics when going into a shop.
So why are you on our car podcast?
I'm here to just answer some basic questions.
Remy, what are your credentials? Like, do you know things about cars?
Yeah, I've been working on cars since I've been about 16, 17. I've taken apart cars. I've replaced all sorts of different accessories on the engine itself. On brakes, tires, quite a few different things.
So you like cars?
Yeah, I love cars. I want to become a mechanic.
So, oil changes, we'll start with. Why do we need an oil change?
Because your oil is what keeps your motor from essentially seizing up. If your motor seizes, that means that the metal inside is welding together. And it will stop moving altogether. A seized engine can range anywhere from just replacing that engine, which could be $1,000, all the way up to it being a racing motor that's $10,000, and you're out all that money right there. So the oil's main job, lubricate. Why do you need to change it? Because it gets dirty. Dirt, bugs, you name it, it can get into the oil through the air.
So, realistically, can I do an oil change by myself?
Yeah.
I just want to say, yes, you can, because I did it. So.
Did you do all the work, or what? Explain to us what you did.
So I'd never done it before, so I had my dad help me, and we looked up a video. We went and bought all this stuff from Walmart because I need like synthetic oil for my car. So we went and got that. And then, yeah, I looked up a YouTube video on how to do it on my specific car. And mine was really easy. You just get under the car, like right under the hood, basically. Not under the hood, but under the car, right kind of where the hood is. And then there's like, we had to get this key for it. I'm sure you know what it's called, to turn it, like to unlock where the oil is. You just pull it down.
The drain plug?
Yeah, sure. And it just fell right out into a pan. And it was so easy.
Yeah. Oh,
that's it?
Yeah, but I'm sure it's different every car. I don't know if it's all cars are that easy, but...
Most cars, I mean, obviously other than electric cars, any car that uses motor oil, they're usually pretty simple to change the oil. Some cars you have to take off like a little plastic plate or like a metal skid plate underneath the car to get to the oil pan to pull that little plug out. Mm-hmm. But most cars, it's just that simple. Then you take the filter out, which usually it's either on the bottom. Where was yours? Was yours on the bottom or was yours up above? Like, did you have to open the hood to grab the oil filter out?
It was on the bottom.
It was on the bottom? Yeah, that's where most cars have it. So usually it's somewhere right next to the oil plug or the drain plug. Have you ever tried it, Josie?
No.
Would you?
It's actually kind of fun. I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's why fixing cars is fun for me.
I used to help my dad work on cars when I was younger, so it kind of... nostalgia from there. Like, I think it's fun. Not all the time, but when I'm in the mood, it can be fun.
What did you help your dad do when you were a kid?
Well, my grandpa and my dad always would, like, my grandpa would buy cars, fix them up, and then sell them, and my dad would help him. And then my dad got this Mustang, and when we were living at my grandparents, he would work on them, like, work on the Mustang, and, like, he wanted to just make it as cool as possible. I don't know if he bought a new engine or what, but he bought a bunch of new parts for it, and I'd always, like, hand him the tools and try to help him, but I was so young, I probably didn't do much help, but, yeah. I just thought it was fun, and watching all of him pour stuff into the car, I don't know, I found it satisfying, so.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Maybe that's what you should do for your career.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that, but.
Okay. Okay, so.
Okay, cool. I have one more question on oil changes, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how often, right, they always give you, like, a recommendation. Like, how far can I actually run it with dirty oil until my car gets really mad and seizes up?
The dirty oil itself most likely won't cause your car to seize up. I mean, it could, but you would have to have well over 20,000 plus miles on the oil.
Oh.
Like, the oil can be extremely dirty and still do its job. It's just not going to do it as well. You can cause different issues from the head gasket can start to wear away. Different gaskets and, like, the O-rings inside on top of the piston, those can start to wear away, cause different issues with it after that. You might start to get little metal flakes in the oil after a while, which means that it's not getting lubricated properly. And this is like, if you don't change it for 20 plus thousand miles, this is bad. This is a bad scenario. It can seize up, yes. But more likely than not, it's because you don't have enough oil in your car to prevent that from happening.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I can run it like 20,000 miles.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that by any means, but, you know, some oils are made to last for 8,000 to 10,000 miles. I like to change my oil as often as it says, or more often even, just because my car has had other problems in the past and I don't want those to continue.
Got it. Thanks.
Yeah. Also, if you don't change your oil for an extended period of time, let's say your oil life on the bottle, it says 3,000-4,000 miles, you can run it for 7,000 or 8,000 miles and not really have much of an issue, but your gas mileage is going to go down.
Makes sense. All right, well, tires and rotating tires. I feel like everyone knows you need to rotate them. I feel like that's just a known fact. Maybe not, but you do need to. how often do you think one should rotate their tires?
Every 4,000 to 5,000 miles. I mean, you can do less than that, but your tires are going to wear unevenly, whether it be like the tires on the right side of your car are wearing on the outside of the tire, and then you have way less tread on the outside of the tire, that means your tires on your left side of your car, if they're wearing opposite of that, they're just going to wear unevenly. You just need to change. You just need to rotate them. Otherwise, they're going to wear unevenly.
I have a dumb question.
Yeah.
What do they do when they rotate your tires? Like, do they just flip the orientation? Do they, like,
move? I feel like they move the back to the front and then the front to the back, and they do that, don't they?
Kind of. They do. You do that. So you move back to front, and then you cross the other the front tires. Oh. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, there's different patterns you can do for that, but that's what my dad always taught me.
Okay. And does every car come with a spare tire?
No, absolutely not. My car, made in 2008, does not have a spare tire in it. Apparently that's to keep down on weight, and because BMW wanted to have their own run flat tires, basically, on the car, that you don't need a spare, because if you get a flat, you can keep driving for an extra 50 to 100 miles and it not be completely flat. Well, if you don't get those run flats and you don't have a spare, you have to pay for an expensive tow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dumb.
Yeah. Oh, well, how and can we change a tire by ourselves?
Oh, of course you can. You can change your tire by just having a jack, whether it's the one that came with the car.
Do all cars come with a jack?
No.
Do all cars with spare tires come with jacks?
Generally, yes. I would say I have never seen a car that has a spare tire not have a jack.
Okay, let's say I have a spare tire and don't know where my jack is. Where should I look?
In the trunk. Generally, most like sedans have the spare tire in the trunk. There's usually a little compartment underneath, like, the carpeting. And usually all of the stuff you would use to change your tire, including the jack itself, is going to be right inside the tire, in the middle of the tire, if that makes sense.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
You jack it up. You're going to take all the lug nuts off, pull the tire off the hub, put the spare on the hub the same way, and then put the lug nuts back on. And then you drop the car down, you're ready to roll.
Pretty simple.
Pretty simple. It's probably the easiest thing you can do in a car.
Okay, what if I don't know where to put the jack? Is that important?
Yeah. You want to put it somewhere on the frame of the car. If you find...
What does that mean?
The metal underneath the car. The chassis of the car. So there's usually like a thick 2 to 3 inch wide piece of metal underneath the middle of your car, going along the left and the right side of it. You're going to want to find where that is, and you want to put it closest to that. You want to set the jack up closest on the frame to the tire as you can. That way that spot is getting the highest in the air right by the tire.
Okay. So let's say I listen to this, still don't know what to do. Can I call someone for help? Like, will an officer come change it? Or
I will say, so I was with Emily, our friend, and we were going to the DeYoung Zoo in Michigan. Her tire bursted, and we're on the highway, so we had to pull over. And like, luckily, a cop saw us and pulled over, and he was like an older cop too, and he actually helped us change the tire. He basically did it for us. Yeah, but I feel like you can call the non-emergency number too, and they can come, at least have someone come over, like a police come over to you, so they can make sure that cars aren't just, you know, moving over for you.
Yeah.
It is definitely not an officer's job to help people change tires, though, by any means. The only thing that their job would be to do in that situation, that they would have to do, would be making sure you're not getting hit by other cars.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But yeah, once in a while, you get a nice cop who will help. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine most cops.
I'm sure, too, like, two young girls, you know, he's probably like, I have daughters or granddaughters of my own. Of course I'm going to help. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like you can also call a tow truck or AAA, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have AAA, that's the first option. Usually. Otherwise, you can always call a family member that does have a jack, and hopefully they have a jack stand they can bring along with, too. And you might have to wait a little while, but yeah. You definitely have options. Whether it be family, you can call a mechanic if you really have to, but they're just going to send a tow truck or AAA out to help you.
So you probably don't want to call a shop then. You probably just want to call a tow truck or someone directly.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So speaking of shops and mechanics, so lots of times mechanics can be very untrustworthy, or they can, you know, charge you too much for what they're doing. How do you find a good and trustworthy mechanic?
Let me just say that this was one of the biggest fights of Brian and I's relationships when we first started out.
It's tough to find a good trustworthy mechanic. I every time I bring my car in to get a diagnosis on something that's wrong with it, or Josie brings her car in, I question everything they're doing. That's just because there's a lot of mechanics out there that are not always honest with what's actually wrong with your car, or if they are, they're overcharging you to fix it, or they're saying that other things are wrong included with what's actually wrong to try to get you to spend more money. For example, when my alternator went bad on my car, they told me I needed to replace my alternator and I needed to replace one of the control modules in my car that control all the electronics, like the windows, the wipers, and everything else. Otherwise, my car wasn't going to run correctly after I did replace the alternator. They wanted to charge me $2,700. I said, no, thank you. I paid for the diagnostics and the tow, and I think I spent like $300 there. I spent a couple days pulling the alternator out. I didn't exactly know what I was doing at first, but I found some guides on a forum online through BMW forums, and I was able to pull the alternator out. Once I got it out, I brought it into a shop that works on just alternators and different electronic components on cars. And they, within 5 minutes, said it's just a regulator on your alternator, which thankfully that was the only thing that they could replace. So they basically rebuilt the alternator, if you want to say that. But all they did was replace the little regulator, which was a $90 part. I ended up saving myself $2,300 because I put the alternator back in, waited for my battery to charge, started my car, and it was all good.
Okay, but like, I'm a dumb girl who doesn't want to take my car apart and spend time on BMW forums and doesn't want to pull out my alternator. What are like some signs that I can look for that the shop's screwing me over, or good way to try and find someone who's not going to screw me over?
You can take your car to multiple different shops and see what their diagnosis is. See how much they're charging you. If the diagnosis isn't lining up from either shop, then you can always ask somebody who knows more about cars to see what they think. You can do a diagnosis yourself by just getting, it's called an OBD2 plug. Every car after 1998 has them in their car now, and you can plug a little device into it that reads codes off your car, and it'll tell you what a engine light means, what a different light means in your car somewhere.
So we have in here, why don't people want to take their cars to dealerships? But I have experienced dealerships firsthand, and the biggest reason I wouldn't want to is because they upcharge you too. Like, you can take it to a dealership, and like for my car, so when I first got it, me and Austin, we worked early in the morning. So we backed our cars up because we were at his parents. We backed our cars up. My window was completely fogged up, and I didn't see that his car was still behind me, so I backed up into him. And I asked the dealership, because I leased my car, and I asked them how much it would be. They told me $800 to take the bumper off, because they had to take the whole bumper off. And I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. But luckily, my uncle works there. So he's like, oh, yeah, just go take it to Commercial Auto, which is a place by us. Tell them that I sent you, and they'll give you a good deal, and end up being like, they quoted me, I still haven't got it fixed, like $250 or $300, which is way cheaper than $800. That's one big reason I know people wouldn't want to go to dealerships.
Yeah. What about chains? Are they all bad?
Not necessarily. They're not bad at all, especially just for like a routine oil change or something like that. If you're taking your car in to have the engine replaced at a regular store, maybe. You don't know how long the mechanics have actually been working or if they know what they're doing on that specific car when they're doing it. Have they done that before on that car? Who knows? At that point, you want to have like an experienced mechanic that you do trust to be doing something like that for you. I see the next question on here is, what kinds of things do you think mechanics try to change, charge, or upcharge that's just not necessary? One thing I see a lot is spark plugs. They'll charge you like $30 a spark plug to replace it when spark plugs themselves are like $7 each, and taking them out on almost any vehicle is only like a 10-minute job. So if you have 6 spark plugs in your car and they're charging you $200 to replace that, I'd say that's a big waste of money, because it's something that you could spend $50 on yourself and get it done in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I agree. Would you think that brakes is another thing?
Yes.
I feel like, yeah, because I've also had my dad help me change my brakes, and they're so much cheaper than when you, like, say, have a dealership or a mechanic place change your brakes. I can't remember exactly how much the brakes were, but they're really cheap.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, their labor rate is the same whether they're doing brakes on your car or whether they're replacing the engine. Replacing an entire motor on a car, that could be 15 plus hours worth of labor. And if the labor rate at that shop is $60 an hour, it's going to be, they have that set in place because it's like an average. How hard is the job to do when you get 100 people in a month that want their brakes replaced and only one person wants their engine replaced? You know, like, they're trying to average that out. I would want to make more money per hour working on replacing somebody's motor, because I know it would be so much harder than doing the brakes. So when they're charging you, let's say, 2 hours of labor to replace the brakes at $60, it's trying to average out for the difficulty of the jobs that they have to do in the long run. It makes sense why they charge so much, but again, brakes are something that most people should be able to do.
So, like, what do you think you hear a lot that, like, they tell you you need to replace that you don't? Like, do you think they try to make you replace your brakes when you could probably get a lot more mileage out of them?
Oh, yeah. They'll say that you need to replace the rotors with the pads at the same time. That's not always true.
That happened to me, too.
I've heard that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that we actually got in a fight over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're like, you need to replace everything. You need to replace the brake lines. And they just try to charge you for little tiny things. Like, oh, you should get a brake flush. You don't need a brake fluid flush. You don't need to get that fluid flushed out almost ever in a vehicle. Obviously, if you drop something in the reservoir that has all the brake fluid in it, and it's like something that has a lot of particles and it spreads out in the brake fluid, yeah, that can be bad over time. But most likely, you never have to change brake fluid on a vehicle.
Good to know.
Cool. So, safety with cars. What's the safest brand in your opinion, and why do you think that?
So my opinion is a little biased. I used to have a Saab. Most people don't even know what a Saab is unless they know somebody that owns a Saab.
I used to have a Saab.
You used to have a Saab too?
Yeah, my dad gave it to me for a little bit, but then he sold it.
What kind of Saab was it?
It was like a hatchback. It was like a 98, maybe. It was older, but it was nice.
Was that Petunia?
Huh?
Was that your purple car?
No. No, okay. That was a Geo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think Geos are very safe.
Heck no.
So you think Saabs are the same
thing? Saabs, in my opinion, are one of the safest brands of car ever built. When you get charged $40,000 for a brand new car in that day and age when Saab was still around, you were getting quality for the amount you're paying.
So they don't make Saabs anymore?
They don't make... Saab is no longer around. It's still an aeronautic company. Like, they work on making jet engine planes, I believe, still. And they also... I believe there's a company that bought out the brand name, and they're trying to make some type of vehicle still, but... Saabs, in my opinion, were the safest vehicle ever created. But
okay, what about now?
Tesla. Tesla spends a lot of money crash testing their vehicles more than they need to. They're one of the only few manufacturers that actually do rollover tests and do a full rollover. I believe the way it's set up in the government, you don't have to test for a full rollover. You only have to test it on its side. But Tesla takes it a step farther and actually tries to roll their car multiple times to see how bad the damage will be. And even though they're just an electric vehicle, they have a lot more safety valves in place to protect you as a driver.
What is the most important thing to keep your car safe? Thing or things?
To keep your car safe?
Yes.
As in, like, getting stolen?
No. Like, keeping up with, like, oil changes or brakes? Like, what's the most important thing for your
car? I think this coincides with what noises and sounds to look for, hear for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're driving and you feel like in Mac with the brake pedal when you used to hit the brake and you would go and you would feel it go up and down.
Yeah,
you remember that? And it would shake. It would shake like crazy.
Yeah, is that bad?
That just means the rotors are bad. That means they're warped.
So that's not unsafe though.
It can be after time. You know, your pads are gonna wear faster. One of your pads might eventually fall out from that vibration.
Right, but that's not going to kill me.
It could definitely cause an accident, but I would say brakes are probably one of the better things to keep up on your vehicle. Also, making sure the airbags are working correctly, and if you do have a recall on any airbags in your car, making sure that you bring it into a dealership, because a recall, they're going to replace it for free.
Don't you have an airbag recall right now?
On the passenger side. I don't sit in the passenger side very often, so I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Oh, great. But your wife sits there, so.
Right. Thank you.
Sounds like a her problem, not me.
Yikes.
Okay. Wow. Such a loving marriage we have.
For sure. So, we could talk about women's safety now.
Yeah. So, that goes with driving.
I feel like a lot of these people know, but it's good to go over them at least. So if you stop for gas late at night, you should stop at places well lit so it's not super dark. No one can come and steal you or stab you or hold you at gunpoint, try to steal your car or your money.
I got a story about stopping at a gas station late at night. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So, a coworker of mine, when I was in college working at the paper mill, he said that he was taking a road trip by himself and stopped at a gas station late at night. And he was, like, a big guy, like 6'2", like, played sports, like, wasn't really worried about things. And
is that
I guess,
Brandon?
No! And some guy tried to rob him, like, pulled a gun and was like, give me all of your money. And so my coworker did some quick thinking and sprayed him with gas and then took a lighter out of his pocket and was like, yeah, you better run. I'm not giving you anything. And the guy ran. So carry lighters in your pocket when you're pumping gas at night.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you're pulling up to a gas station, you're not sure of the area, it's at night, there's not a lot of people around, be vigilant, be aware of your surroundings. Don't go back into your car and just close the door, because maybe when you get out, there could be somebody waiting for you. Be aware of what's going on. If you see some suspicious activity, get in your car and drive away, call the gas station and tell them what happened, and pay for the gas when you get back on the next day.
And always lock your doors as soon as you get in the car. Don't sit on your phone with the doors unlocked or dilly-dally. Just lock them right away, especially if you're in a sketchy area where you don't feel unsafe.
Yeah, I feel like we have a bad habit of that as people, and we just need to be more on top of it. If you need to check your phone, make sure your doors are locked.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of already talked about being cautious of vehicles next to you while getting in your car and people around you.
So if you're getting pulled over and you feel unsafe because of the officer, you can always turn on your hazards until you get into a place that's more busy. You can also put on your hazards and drive to the closest police station, or you can call 911 to confirm that it's actually an officer that's pulling you over. You don't have to pull over just because you see lights. Still be safe about it. It could be someone impersonating a police officer.
And this is a habit that I already have because I don't trust anyone, is looking into your back seat before you get into your parked car. I even do that when I'm getting into my parked car in the garage after the garage has been locked and shut all night. I will still look because I don't trust no one. So
same.
Yeah. If someone tries to make you drive at gunpoint, crash into something, and run like hell.
That sounds...
So if, like, you're being, you know, you weren't being diligent, you were playing on your phone, didn't lock your door, someone gets in your passenger side and holds a gun at gunpoint to you and tells you to drive to try to, like, kidnap you, your best chance to survive is to crash into something... And then you run away in a zigzag pattern so he can't shoot you. Don't just drive wherever he's telling you to drive. That's how you end up in a ditch. Or sex trafficked. Or worse. Crash and run.
So, if he shoots you while you're driving, you know...
He's not going to shoot you while you're driving.
You don't know that. People. Yeah, exactly. What if he's got nothing... What if he has nothing to lose and he's just...
Most of the time, those kind of people are trying to steal women for things that aren't great. They're not just trying to kill themselves.
But what if it's like an action movie?
Either way, that situation is very sticky.
And how when you get into a crash, would you not hurt yourself at the same time as him or her?
Well, you might, but your adrenaline's going to be up a little bit more. Because you're terrified from him pointing the gun at you.
I gotta imagine there's a lot of emotion running through them, too. They have a gun pointed at somebody.
Yeah, on to the next one. Stay alert and stay safe.
Yeah.
Oh, we're trying to tell you.
Why are you arguing with me on that point? What would you rather I do? Someone gets into my car, points a gun at my head, and tells me to drive. What would you like me to do? Just drive where they tell me to go?
Don't go the way they tell you to go. Just drive towards the police.
What if they shoot me? Because I'm not driving the way they tell me to drive.
Well, you're driving. Why would they shoot you? They're just going to get in an accident and...
But you just told me that
they... You just said that they wouldn't keep driving.
Oh my god.
All right, you just said, why would they shoot you if you're the one driving and you're still moving?
Yeah, that one's tricky. I mean, you're risking it either way. You're risking keeping on driving... And you're risking crashing into something. So, I don't know. That's a hard one. Hopefully no one's ever in that situation because you'd be fucked either way. Just saying.
Well,
so.
I'd crash. Just throwing that out there.
Well, thank you for your advice.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add about cars?
Don't trust anybody that spells their name Brian with an I. Only trust Brians that have a Y.
I knew a Brian with an I who I worked with, and he was the nicest guy ever.
Nicer than me?
Probably.
Honestly, yeah. He was an older guy, and he was just so nice. He got us chocolate when we worked together, because it was when we were working at Stormalon Pro in my first year, and he was training me, and he would get a candy bar every day, usually, but sometimes he'd, you know, give me one, too, and... Yeah, he was always super encouraging, and when I would freak out sometimes when I couldn't, like, when I first started working there, I would kind of freak out on certain things, like, some of the blowers were hard to start, and he'd be like, calm down, and he'd start it for me. He was just nice. So, not all Brians with eyes are mean.
Yeah. Okay. But, well, thanks for being on our podcast. Thanks for all the advice.
Lots of good advice.
Yes. You're welcome. I enjoyed my time. On the Brina and Josie show.
That's not what the name of this podcast is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I enjoyed my time on 20-something and thriving.
Maria, thank you so much. Well, follow us at all the things.
Yep, like, comment, review.
And subscribe if you're not already.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening. Be sure to tune into the next episode of 20-something and thriving, as Brina and Josie continue to share their adventures with you.